Hey everyone, welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there's more than one way to train, eat, and live. My name is MC Kim, aka The Kind Intelligent Man, and we're here in October 2021. Man, it's been, I think we say this almost every time, but man, it's been a crazy year, how fast it goes by. You know, this year, last year, probably the craziest of years, you know, in terms of globally, right? You know, this thing called the pandemic hitting us, you know, this year. I always like to think if I can culminate the last 2 years, and you know, it'd be kind of like a movie, you know, like last year it'd be called The Pandemic. This year, you know, I would maybe call it The Cure, or like The Vaccine, or something along the lines of that. But you know, it's crazy. You know, I feel like I don't know how much longer we're gonna, you know, get into in, you know, I don't know how much longer we're gonna be going through all this stuff, or, you know, but clearly it's there's no real end in sight just yet. But I know if we keep all trucking along as human beings and we keep doing our very best, I'm sure we're gonna be out of this, you know, out of this, and you know, and going, you know, going forward, you know, going forward into going to our next steps of our human evolution, and whatever comes down, you know, must come up. So I feel like we're slowly coming up, and I hope you are feeling the same way too, wherever you are in the world. And if anything, I hope today's episode is going to bring you some, you know, some joy, some confidence into reaching your own personal fitness goals, because I'm bringing back a returning guest, and I would like to call him a good friend. Despite us never meeting in person, we have always both supported each other over the last few years, you know, since finding out about one another. He goes by the name of Dr. John, probably one of the smartest people that I know. He first appeared on April the 22nd, 2019, so almost in the beginning of when I first started the Remix My Fitness podcast. He goes by the name of Dr. John, a martial artist, double PhDs. He's got two PhDs, Hollywood stuntman. And in today's episode, he's gonna break it down for us. He's gonna break it down, and he's gonna be talking to us about, you know, a little bit of about his sleep. And if you have checked out his first episode, his first appearance on the show, which by the way ends up being his first episode ever, it ends up being his first podcast ever, the Remix My Fitness podcast. So humbled and grateful to have him as his first. And if you haven't checked out his first appearance, he goes into his sleep. And at that time, I thought it was kind of crazy, like how he thought about his sleep and you know, what time he wakes up. This time he leveled up. And I'm even more shocked at like what he does to his sleep and how he remixes that up. He goes over the importance of, like, you know, writing goals, how to go about doing that, especially if we may or may not go into isolation again, or if we have to lock down again, what you can do to keep yourself busy, to keep your mind right. I go over, you know, some of the new tools that I've set up for myself, my own vision board, and why that's important to me. And we talk about how to successfully reach our fitness goals. And that is really only the tip of the iceberg in terms of our conversation, because we talked for a long time. You know, me and Dr. John, if we get together, we end up talking for a little bit, this time a little bit longer than usual. So I had to break this episode down into two parts. So I hope you enjoy it. I know I did. You know, the time just flew by when we were chatting, and next thing you know, we're almost like 2 hours into a conversation. I was thinking, like, how am I gonna release this into one episode? So decided to break it down in two, and the second half will be coming out next week. And you know, we can hear all about his experience from Hollywood, and we talk supplements and all the things like that next week. But I'll save what we really talk about in next week's episode. All right, so without any further ado, here is Dr. John. Hey everyone, one quick thing before we head to today's interview. Just wanted to let you guys know that the Remix My Fitness YouTube channel is up. It is updated with some new content. So if you're looking for home gear reviews, if you're looking to see how to do certain exercises for your back, your shoulders, your abs, your core, you gotta go out and check out the Remix My Fitness YouTube channel. That's it. Let's get to the interview. I would like to welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast a lifelong martial artist, a Hollywood stuntman, a fight choreographer, actor, multiple PhDs, YouTuber, pianist, singer, composer. Really, I don't know what else he doesn't do. He first appeared on episode 42 on April the 22nd, 2019. It is my great pleasure to welcome back Dr. John to the show. Welcome, Dr. John.
Thank you so much for having me back. And, you know, you are one of my first podcasts
that I ever did.
So it's great to be back, and it's great to talk to you. And thank you. You know, it's a long time coming. Really excited for this.
You know, Dr. John, I'm really excited about this show today as well because, you know, we reconnected back on social media. You know, I've been following you on social media, and I know you've been doing the same for me too. And you're doing all these exciting things. And when I first had you on the show, like I said, it was one of my favorite episodes. I've actually republished the show again just so that listeners out there can listen to the show. Episode 42 of the Remix My Fitness podcast. Dr. John drops a lot of knowledge, and I actually had a whole bunch of other questions to ask you that day. But, you know, we got to the topics of like mental health. We got topics of getting into new habits and things that I didn't think I was gonna talk to you, but I'm glad we did. So I got to ask you before we start the show, you know, how have things been for you? How has this thing called the pandemic treated you out in Oxford, England?
Indeed, yeah. So no, it's I think when the lockdown hit for us in March last year, I was working as a researcher at the time, and I was like, okay, cool. And I think about a month in, I realized actually, you know, I kind of just want to quit my job right now and actually just focus on me.
Wow.
Because I've always worked lots of different jobs, and you know, I think last I spoke to you, I was working at a university, and what happened was I left that job to work on a film called The Eternals, which is the next Marvel film. And that's coming out in November, which I'm very excited for. I'll come back to that.
Yeah, I definitely have some follow-up questions regarding that and how you got into that. And I really love how you're slick there. Just kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm in the new Eternals movie, Marvel. I may have heard of it. I'm not sure.
You may have heard of it, Adam. So basically, when I finished working on The Eternals, I began my job working as a researcher in the field of molecular hydrogen, which was hella cool. I think when the pandemic hit, I a lot of things that we had planned, the experiments we had planned, got delayed. So then I thought, you know, I think it's time for me. I had a few other film related jobs I could consult on, help with the production side. And I thought, you know, I think this is time for me to leave the job and actually focus on that and focus on myself as well. So in April 2020, I hadn't left the house really. I didn't leave the house for about 8 weeks. And it was the first time in a while that I'd actually spent so much time at home, because previously I had always gone out and about. And it was actually quite nice to spend all the time I spend making money to live in the house that I never spent any time in. And it was different for me because obviously the gyms are closed. So the first lockdown, I got to learn a lot of things that I didn't know about my own body. So I used to eat 7 or 8 meals a day. Now I eat 7 meals a week.
Seven meals
so
a week?
So I did a lot of, I do 1 meal a day. So it's essentially like intermittent fasting, but more extreme, I suppose. But, you know, I got to do a lot of body weight workouts, which, you know, I didn't enjoy so much to begin with. But then I thought, hey, you know, I can maintain what I have from doing these different YouTube workouts, these home workouts I can do. I felt that the lockdown was good for me because I think the day I left my job, I started writing my martial arts book and also recorded a piano album, which I released on the same day, actually. So I thought, you know, the album was something that has taken me 11 years to do. And I thought, this is the time to actually get it all done. And I thought the book was something that I wanted to just all the non-physical attributes of martial arts. That's something that I wanted to put into a book and put out there for people. So it's stuff that I would teach anyway, but just not the physical stuff, you know. So you got the respect elements, all the attributes a martial artist should have. But also, you know, if you're a martial artist already, then the book complements what you already do. These are things you can add to your current training. So, you know, it was important for me to get that out. And I thought the first lockdown, hey, that was great for us. That was great for me in that I could dedicate time to doing all of those things. So yeah, it was okay for me. And I didn't, aside from the, I think mental health wise, it was good for me as well, because finally I got to actually, you know, get through my Netflix list.
Good to know that you also watch Netflix as well. What was something on the list on Netflix? I want to know.
So there's a film called No Escape, which is it's a Owen Wilson film. Him and his family are, you know, he's got a new
film. The one with the tsunami?
So I think there's some kind of revolution going on there. And then him and his family end up having to run. It's relentless. It's a very good film.
All right, I got to check that out.
It's good, you know.
So your book is out now, right?
It is, yeah.
So tell the listeners, what is it called, and where can people find your book?
So no, it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes and Noble. It's available, and it's a short book. It's 54 pages, I think it is. I try to keep it as concise as possible so that people could get through it very quickly, but refer back to it whenever they needed to. I released my book and my piano album on the same day, actually. I thought, why not?
Of course, why not? Only you, Dr. John, would think, why not? Why not release an album and a book on the same day? I want to ask you about your book. Is it it's based on martial arts? Is it a lot on techniques, or is it more like on concepts? You know, things like feeling comfortable, being uncomfortable.
For sure, there are some of those attributes where you have... where it talks about those elements, philosophical elements, but also practical elements that you can apply to your daily life instantly, such as awareness, composure under pressure. In addition, I mean, I thought to put physical techniques in a book is actually quite difficult, because, you know, a lot of people learn visually, and, you know, it's hard to convey that with text. So I thought I would... I might tackle that at a different time, you know, but for now, in that one book, it's all about, awareness, composure under pressure, things that you can do, you know, like conditioning, as well as, you know, things you can add to your training, like multiple attackers with weapons. You know, it's like, how does your current training fit into that mold? Should you ever find yourself against a group of people, all of which have the intent and they're all armed? So, you know, it's like if you're a boxer, for instance, keep doing what you're doing, but can you change your training to take that into account should you ever come across such a situation? And another huge part of the book is how to talk to people, how to deal with people, and how to de-escalate a situation, which for me has been endlessly useful these days, because I think in July I had someone knocking on my door, threatening me and everything. It was insane.
The whole
thing took about 10-15 minutes, but I managed to talk the guy down, and you know, he was not of sound mind, but I thought, you know, I need to keep my cool. So the book is a lot of the book is about how to keep your cool and how to be able to put your training into practice when you absolutely need to, you know, and how to walk away from a situation that actually doesn't need escalating. You can walk away from that, you know, and so it's all about those practical elements, you know, which we can apply to our everyday life instantly.
But that's crazy, Dr. John, because when you came on the show the first time, you also shared two stories where you had to de-escalate a situation in two different instances. And again, you are de-escalating another incident. Like, what is it? What is it about you? Do you find that you naturally attract trouble? And I'm glad you're able to do it without having to be physical, though.
Certainly, when I was younger, I would get myself into a lot of physical confrontations. And looking back now, I can be honest enough to say that I got lucky a lot of the time. I can say that now. I wouldn't admit it back then. And I can certainly say I'd never used words to de-escalate. In fact, I would often escalate the situation so I could justify it as self-defense. Now, any situation that I find myself in, either I can walk away from it, or if it does escalate, I can always, I think it's in the tone of voice as well. And it's having to, being tactful. And, you know, I think if I let myself go, if I lose my temper or lose, you know, anything, lose control, that's more likely to exacerbate the situation, which is not where I want to be. You know, it's like, and I know full well that if I hit the guy, It will finish the situation instantly, but then instant gratification. Then after that, I'll know that I was emotionally compromised and I shouldn't have let it happen. Then now the guy's pressing charges and all kinds of trouble. So that's never where I want to be. So, you know, I don't mind spending 10, 20, 30 minutes longer to de-escalate a situation if it means I get to go home safely, especially if it's so close to my house. I never want them to, you know, if I was rude to that guy back in July, for instance, now he knows where I live, you know. So, yeah, you know, so I'm always very careful with what I say, what I do. But for the most part, it's not the hill I want to die on. And I'm happy to walk away.
Well, I mean, we touched upon this on the last episode as well. I mean, you're a lifelong martial artist. I'm a lifelong martial artist. And, you know, even amongst my friends, because I do martial arts, they just can consider me like I'm the fighter. I'm somebody that wants to go out there and fight all the time. But, I mean, I know better. I know better. Like, I fight and I practice at the time that I choose to practice at a designated time in a controlled environment. I would never really want to get into an actual fight with somebody because I know how much that hurts and how unpredictable it can get.
Absolutely. And I think most street fights, for instance, happen all the time of the attacker's choosing, not yours. You know, so it's I always have the philosophy where you should train when you don't want to so that you can fight when you have to. So my training takes me at 3 a.m. I set an alarm.
What?
Last thing I want to do is train. But if I can train in those conditions and do, you know, it's like, my training is always awful at 3 a.m. Like my technique is off. It's getting better. But I think if I'm able to acclimate myself to that kind of condition, then for sure, anytime, and I'm half asleep as well, but I think anytime anyone ever picks a fight with me where I absolutely have to fight, I will be able to turn that switch on and be in instant fight mode if I need to. Obviously, that's not where I want to be. Like when I was younger, I really got a kick from fighting. But then it's like what happens is the more you fight, the less peace you have. And they always have friends. They always come back for you. And yeah, it's kind of crazy.
You don't want to know what's crazy. What's crazy is that you're getting up at 3 a.m. That's 2 hours. That's 2 hours earlier than when you when I previously interviewed you.
You
just get
back
up at
to
5.
Sleep straight afterwards. I do go back.
So you get up at 3, you work out, and then you go back to sleep. Like, what made you even want to get up at 3 a.m? Like, you would get up at 5 and be like, you know what? I'm not tired enough. I'm not groggy enough. It's not early enough. I'm gonna get up at 3. Like, and then go back to sleep. Like, doesn't that throw off your circadian rhythm at all?
A little. So, I mean, the training session I do is normally maybe 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, it's just short and sharp and intensive. It's just so that I can switch on. You know, I can just switch myself on as soon as I need to. Sometimes what I'll do is instead of setting the alarm myself, I might give my phone to my friends and get them to set an alarm for random times of the morning. You know, it is a bit extreme.
This gets crazier and crazier.
You know, and thankfully it's not being, it's all at random, so I never know. And then when my alarm goes off, I go, oh, you're kidding me. I check, right, time to go down and train. And, you know, it's like, you know, I think it's important that I can switch it on instantly, you know, because you never know when something might happen, when it hits the fan. Suddenly, I need to be instantly prepared. And, you know, even if I'm, you know, I'll train with a backpack on just to see what I can do in that time with a backpack on. Do I keep it on me? Do I put it down? If I put it down, I need to be spatially aware. For instance, does he have friends that might take that backpack and run? You know, so I always have a lot of different variables when I'm training in the morning. Like, I might even put on a radio show or something, put on the radio, and then as I'm training, okay, after my training session, see how much of that radio show I remembered, and I can see if I can recall that. And that helps with my general spatial awareness, my memory, my recall as well, especially at 3 a.m. I mean, who wants to do that?
But, well, certainly not me.
No. I don't want to do it either.
No, you clearly do.
Yeah, I think it's good to be able to do that if you have to, you know. And by doing that when I don't want to, it means I can do it when absolutely have to.
Well, that being said, I'm gonna let you keep that one. I don't know if there's no way. Sometimes I go to sleep at 3 a.m., let alone having to wake up at 3 a.m., But what I wanted to ask you, just kind of moving on to our next topic, I wanted to ask you, last time we chatted, you were working on your second PhD in psychology. Have you completed that yet? Are you still working on it?
Oh, that's finished now. That's, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations. Look at this. Yeah. Double PhDs.
PhD, yes.
Super congratulations, Dr. John. Honestly.
Thank you. I mean, I never wanted to do to progress in a career anywhere. My studies were always for me. So they're always personal to me. So it's like I've never used my qualifications to get another job to get further in, because film is always where I wanted to go. So everywhere else in my career, film aside, I've now done everything that I ever wanted to do, aside from the film work, which is what I'm doing now. Though, so my area of research was conflict resolution, actually. Having to do, so it was that area of psychology that really fascinated me. So it's not just about body language anymore. It's about the choice of words, how you are, how you're breathing as you're doing that, So that was really important to me in that I would be able to create a framework where people could stick to it, where they could, in principle, stick to a framework where it would guide them of how to resolve most situations most. So it's essentially, in short, you want to exhibit a level of empathy while staying calm, because if you're overly confident and assertive, that comes across as aggressive. If you're aggressive, then that might breed more aggression. If you're if you do nothing, then they might get the better of you. So I think being calm and showing empathy, you understand where they come from. Of course, if they throw the first punch that was completely uncalled for, you didn't see it coming, then of course all that goes out of the window. I think when you're still talking, you might still have a chance. If you have a chance, then that's when you can implement this level of resolution, And I think that's very important. So that was the area that I specialized in. And I use that as a way to teach my students, but for the most part, those studies are very personal to me. If I can study more, even better. But now there are no plans yet.
No plans yet. But Dr. John, you're still a young man. So I'm sure you don't have plans now, but I'm sure you'll have plans in the very near future. Knowing how you are, right? Coming out with books and all those kinds of things. And for myself, if I can give you a quick recap of what I've been up to over the last little bit, I took this time to also spend some time to reflect on some of the things that I wanted to do. For example, I've always wanted to train people online. It's something that a goal that I had in mind, but I felt like, I don't really have a lot of YouTube subscribers. I don't really do that much social media. And I thought, okay, how am I going to do this? Like, how am I going to get people to train with me online? And funny enough, it took this whole situation for me to just be like, hey, you know what? Nobody's working out. No gyms are open. I just opened up my laptop and invited all the people that I knew that trained with me before, friends, family. And next thing you know, I'm training people virtually. And I'd like to think we have a pretty robust program at Remix My Fitness. Now we got multiple cameras and all kind of overlays and all kinds of things like that. We got some, we have a great time training online. This is finally like what I wanted to do. I got here. And on top of that, I get to produce podcasts, of course, the Remix My Fitness podcast. But also companies have reached out for me to be their co-host or to produce their shows. And so I've been in a fortunate situation to be able to now make an honest living online. And it was all through that self-reflection, what do I want to do? Yeah. Let's just go out and let's do it. But for a lot of my friends and for a lot of clients that I had, this wasn't the same. The isolation got to them, the loneliness got to them, and I wanted to know where you are out in England, did you find it the same thing for you as well over there? Did you find that the people were just during the lockdown just felt really pent up?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think when you suddenly reduce the social element, people become, you're cutting them off now from their friends, their family, and you know the only form of contact they have is an internet connection. That's tough. You know, I mean, that's really tough because suddenly you've lost a huge part of your life. So I completely understand that that people were struggling, you know, because it's, I think I didn't see my brother for over a year. I didn't see my family for over a year. So it's like, I live by myself. So it's like, of course, video calling just isn't the same as interacting with your friends and everything. And I think with, certainly, I think with the struggle, it's like a lot of people weren't used to being by themselves and being alone with their own, by themselves, and having to cope by themselves. And even, you know, they would get cabin fever, even with their partners, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I did see a lot of that. And, you know, I know a lot of relationships that actually came together because they were forced to come together. And I saw a few relationships that unfortunately fell apart as well. So for sure, you know, it's like it really tested people. For me personally, because I enjoy my own company, I enjoy my own time by myself. You know, I can not be, I didn't see anyone for 8 weeks to begin with. Like, no, like I'd say, like not my, you know, say hi to my neighbors, you know, but it's like no extended conversations. And it was good for me, if I'm honest, because, you know, I've always been out and about. So this was a nice change for me. But then, you know, for me, you know, when you can't go to the gym anymore, okay, that's, now you got to make do with something else.
Mm-hmm. and not just you, right? Like, I know a lot of trainers, and I know a lot of people that work out, and that really killed people. Like, they got them right in the soul.
I mean, even the park gyms were closed. They were cordoned off, so you couldn't go in. And it's like before the first lockdown, I could do, like, when I did pull-ups, for instance, I would do always wide grip, you know, three sets, one set of 50, 30, 20. And I was really proud of that. And coming out of a lockdown, boy, that was tough. I'm building myself back up to being able to do 50 pull-ups again. That's tough, you know. It's I think as restrictions started easing up, where we could start seeing small groups, that was good, because I got to see a couple friends and regularly as well. So, you know, that helped build friendships more, I felt. But my goodness, it was certainly a change, you know. And I think either you roll with the times or you get crushed by them, you know. And I think, you know, it's important that, you know, we keep a level head as best we can. And, you know, I was telling some people, you know, have something to look forward to, you know, populate your calendar. You know, it's like, maybe today you clean up, tomorrow, you know, you have a few films that you can watch. And if it's a few films, maybe spread it out across the week. You know, don't binge at all. You know, it's and that's the problem. You know, you would binge through all these shows on Netflix, you know. I was like, I'm just trying not to binge it all, because you can easily get through it within a day, you know, a couple seasons. So it's like, pace yourself. We don't know where, we can't see an end in sight. So maybe we just take our time with it, you know, and it's like, now we can take life at a different pace.
Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what I want to talk to you about. You know, for us here in Canada, you know, we have this really long season called winter. And around this time, a lot of people will get sick. And, you know, despite us being almost all vaccinated here in Ontario, Canada, you know, the numbers continue to kind of fall up and come down. But with winter looming, you know, people are getting a little anxious. Like, are we gonna lock down again? It can get like very depressing. You know, people that I never would have imagined who felt isolated during the first and second lockdown here, you know, went out and they sought help, which is amazing, right? Which is great. And they seek some professional help. They reached out to friends. And I thought that was really great of them to go ahead and do that. But for those people who might not be ready to take that step. And you gave that excellent tip, like having things scheduled, having things to look forward to. What are maybe some one or two things that, that you can also suggest that these people can go out and do for themselves?
Well, and to be honest, if we do go back, if we all go back into another lockdown, it's not going to be a shock. Like the first one. The first one was a huge shock. Going into it a second time around, we already know what to expect. So anything that I would say, plan stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, and I think and have something to look forward to as well. And you know, maybe set up a workout regimen and actually validate yourself as well. You know, because that's important. You know, because when you're by yourself, or kindness to yourself is everything. You know, you have to take care of yourself. And you know what? It's like fill your time as best you can. You know, always see that book that you've been meaning to read. You know, it's like, and I'm sure delivery services are still working. So it's like Amazon, for instance. So it's like that was a lifesaver for me because I could get new stuff. Yeah. But I'd say, hey, you know, and those who are working from home, okay, then most of your day is already occupied, you know, so have something to look forward to in the evening as well. You know, something, maybe schedule a call with someone. Then now's a good time to actually connect with people you've not spoken with for a while, you know. And I certainly took that opportunity to do that, you know. And it was nice that people reached out to me as well, and they would say, hey, look, you know, I'm not just getting in touch with you because I'm by myself, because actually it's on my to-do list, and now's the best time for me to get in touch with you, which was kind of convenient, you know. I mean, but also nice at the same time. And I think that's important, you know. That we whilst we may have to remain physically distant, we don't remain socially distant, you know. So, you know, I'd say, I know people go back in their shell, but I think if you feel like you need help, please seek it. You know, that's so important. In fact, today I had someone, I had a counseling session today with someone, because they're a musician and they want to, you know, they want to get back into it, but they're feeling very anxious about it. They're not too sure what to do, lifestyle changes and everything. So that was very, that was a positive thing, you know. And she said she was very nervous in reaching out. And I said, well, but you know what? The fact that you did is huge. That's so, so good, you know, and commendable. But I think at the end of the day, you need to gauge your own progress and actually validate that progress as you see it, you know. And if it slides, then you don't say to yourself, oh, I fell off the wagon. You say, oh, no, progress slowed down a little. That's okay. We'll get back on it, you know. And writing stuff down is important as well, you know. So because I think if you plan something and you write it down, it becomes real, you know. So populating that calendar, very important.
And, you know, Dr. John, those are excellent pieces of advice. I mean, even for myself, I'm in love with the idea of writing things down, but what I'm not good at is I'm not good at being consistent at writing things down, and, you know, setting goals, like having like a set goal, like by this time I want to, you know, by this date I want to be a millionaire, or, you know, things like that. Those things never really panned out for me. But recently, I wouldn't say recently, at the start of the year, I decided to try something a little bit different. You know, I've been hearing all these things about like the vision board. You know, I've heard from Oprah and Steve Harvey and, you know, and all these other people who are, you know, successful, not just successful, but I want to also think, like, they also seem very happy with themselves. You know, they're very in tune with themselves. And, you know, my approach to the vision board is I try to write as many different things that I want to achieve in life. And the one big difference that I decided to make this time as opposed to previous times is that there is no timeline. I've decided not to put a timeline of when I'm going to achieve these goals of mine on my board. And the reason why I did this was because, you know, oftentimes I would fall into the trap of, you know, I'm going to write this goal and I'm going to put it for this date. And, you know, and then what would happen? What would happen would be like that date would come by and be like, oh my goodness, I totally forgot about this, or I didn't do this, or, you know, and then I would just go so down on myself. I'm like, oh, you know, MC Kim, you suck. Like, you failed again. And I would have this, like, terrible feeling of, like, I didn't do it. So on this vision board, I wrote down in specific details of the things that I want to achieve. And my goal is to get, like, 300 things on here. 300 things. And it's surprising. It's crazy hard to write 300 different, yes. 300 different things. But I read my vision board. I read my vision board every day, twice a day, in the morning and in the night, and I read aloud every single thing that I've written on there. And not only do I read it aloud, but I try to envision what that feeling would be like to achieve that specific vision or to achieve that specific goal. And you wouldn't believe the kind of feelings that I would have. I gain this attachment to it. And even though I don't have a timeline, I know I'm working towards it because every time I look at it, and as soon as I achieve something, I'm crossing it off my board. And it gives me this huge, huge sense of gratification because I'm no different than anybody else. You know, I'm on social media and I see all these people and, you know, they all look so happy, you know, and they've achieved so much. And, you know, nobody puts anything bad on social media. Nobody puts down, you know, the 1,000 no's that you get when you make phone calls or when you talk to friends and they want to kind of avoid talking to you because they're worried you're going to pitch them your business. You have all this doubt that kind of really just grows in your body, right? And I see it with people who also want to start their business or who want to start their fitness plan. They want to start, you know, they're excited to start, but also what stops them from doing it is their own personal doubt in themselves. Like, can I actually do this? Or am I going to fail and look like a fool because I've told everyone and I've most importantly, I've told myself that this is what I'm going to do. So what can people do to help release themselves from the burden of self-doubt?
Well, you know, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. And I think having that vision board is incredible because if you are looking at, you don't have to see the whole journey, like just knowing that you'll get there is important because when you visualize, if you sit down and visualize every day and then you just imagine, you know, stuff, it's like if I describe eating a lemon to you, for instance, you're biting into that lemon and suddenly you get that vacuum face, you know. It's very holographic, but it's real. You know, your brain thinks it's real. That's why your body responds to it a certain way. And I think if just talking about describing eating a lemon can invoke such a response, then how we think absolutely affects how we feel. So the big stuff, the small stuff. So if we take time to start visualizing, imagining, it's like, you know, stuff that we'll have in the future, stuff that we would have achieved in the future. This is something that I do, for instance. I look at who I'm becoming in the future, that future me. Future me has all these cool things. He's done all those cool things or whatever. But what attributes does he have in his personality, in his behavior that got him there? And are those attributes that I can embody now? Are they, you know, attributes that I already have? Okay, maybe some of them are. So then let's work on those. Let's make it, you know. So you're living in the end result. So your mind is in the future, but your body just needs the requisite time to reach that point. So it's not that person that we want to become is impossible. We are becoming that person with each day. And it's actually tracking that progress as well. And I think that's 6 months from that now, we look back and think, I'm glad I started. And I think doubt is... And that's the thing with doubt. And if you do something or if you don't do something, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always had. You know, so I think, you know, if I don't do anything, if I doubt myself, then nothing happens. If I actually go out and try it, okay, cool, try something new. You know, it's I think that's really important. And I think it's just a shift in how we think. And it's very much... we have to deal with the circumstances. We have to live through the circumstances regardless of how we feel about it. We might as well see it in a positive light. You know, okay, what can I do with this free time now? Or what can I do now that I'm stuck at home? I had all these things that I wanted to do that I can't because of this situation. Okay, no problem. Let's see what else I can do. Maybe I can make further plans. And when you make plans to do something, even if you don't do them, you actually feel really excited about it. You know what I mean? It's like, Like, I know a lot of people, made like a zombie apocalypse plan, which I thought was pretty cool. A little scary, but hey, you never know, right? And I thought that was pretty cool. They took this whole idea of the pandemic and everything. And I thought, okay, cool. Let's use our imagination a little and see what we can do. What if this happened? And you know what? That carried them through for a bit. It's like certainly I got more into zombies. Well, what was it? Great. But I'm not saying that that's what people should do, but I think it's like, video games help people because it's a form of escapism. Films, board games. I found two of my friends actually, they're a couple. They started getting into D&D, and these are two people I would never associate with D&D. Yeah, they play religiously, and they had a meeting. They play every Friday, and then on the Thursday they had a video call about that. And they said, "Oh, I was at their house, and they said, do you mind if we just have this quick meeting?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." I couldn't believe just how absorbed they were. But I thought, hey, if that helps you get through it, hey, power to you. That's amazing. So there's plenty of stuff. Because we lived in a time, like you and I, for instance, would have grown in a time where we didn't have the internet. You know what I
That's
mean?
right,
So,
last generation, I think, right?
yeah, absolutely. So it's like, aside, there are ways to connect, there are ways to do things. And, there are a lot of options out there. We might have to be a little old fashioned, reading books and everything, but hey, I love that. I think it's important for us to do that.
Dr. John, I think you hit that right on the nail. It's one of my, I don't know, my favorite topics to talk about. I actually have a podcast on this very topic, which is appreciating the journey and not just the destination. Because I train people, and I've been training people for almost 10 years now, and people want to lose 10 pounds, they want to lose 20 pounds, they're fixated with this number, and I always ask them, like, why this number? Why 10? Why 15? Why 20? And it's because they are fixated with what that 20 pounds will do for them or did for them, because their answers are usually, well, back in high school I weighed X weight. Back when I was married, or when I was getting ready for my wedding, I was this weight. When I did yoga, I was so strong. I was the strongest I've ever been. And that weight, that number that they have picked has been associated with a particular feeling that they had back in the day, a memory, or maybe life was better when, and they want to try to achieve that. Or they want to get back to that if only they could lose the excess weight that they've gained. But I have found that the people who succeed and who have the greatest results are people who actually enjoy what they're doing. Like they started running maybe because they did want to lose weight, but they found out, you know what, I actually kind of like this running thing. Or they start lifting weights because that's what they think that needs to be done, but they realize, oh, wow, you know what, I actually like being able to lift 5 pounds heavier yesterday, or lifting a few more reps than last time. So I want to ask, for the people who maybe are still trying to find the appreciation to their journey, what are some things that they can think about, or what are some mindset shifts that they should consider as for greater success?
It's got to be a shift in so, like, if I can't go to the, if there are lockdowns, for instance, gyms will close again, and so it's finding alternatives, and there are, it's like, certainly with me, for instance, I didn't lose anything. Like, I didn't lose any size during the lockdown because I was still able to find ways to stimulate my body through home workouts, and you know what? Dumbbells and barbells, free weights went up in price. You
Whew,
know, it
yes,
was
they did.
insane. It was, but you know what? There's a way around everything. It's like, I realized just how versatile a towel can be. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like the kind of workouts was, it just changed everything. And I think when I, and but it's like, okay, you're not going to the gym anymore, but you're still working out. That's important, because I think generally, you want to keep your nutrition well. If you keep your nutrition well and you're, well hydrated, you sleep well, you work out, And hey, those are three main things here. You know, there are three main things that you can do instantly to help you feel better, you know, in addition to deep breathing and meditation, which I would always suggest to people. So, you know, if you can do, and those are things you can do right now, you know, fix your, you know, like you can eat well now. You can make sure you get enough sleep. That's important, you know, because I think, you know, when people go to sleep worried and everything, it doesn't help the next day, you know, when, you know, so I think, you know, we need to be not just on a nutrition diet, but also a mental diet. A mental diet is like I never cheat on my mental diet ever, because I can't afford to.
And that is a wrap. I know I'm leaving you guys on a little bit of a cliffhanger. You're talking about mental diet. I think that's a very good point for us to start off on next week, onto next week's episode. So don't forget, smash that subscribe button. Not too hard. Don't break your phone. Don't break your tablet. Don't break anything into your car, okay? Disclaimer alert. And I will be back. I will be back next week with this episode, part two with Dr. John. Thank you all for tuning in. So until next time, don't forget to set some goals, challenge yourself, and most importantly, don't forget to have fun. Peace.